Off the Ball, GAA.
It's good to make history for the club, and as you see, like, SARS, it means everything to us. After losing county final, to get to a Munster final and represent ourselves and our community, it means everything to
join
us.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball's Breakfast Bite, giving you a flavour of Ireland's sports breakfast show.
But the player we should start with, really, is Sam Prendergast, who after 8 minutes or so of the match, we thought his game could be over entirely here. He's gone to the bin. This could turn into a red card. He had a few wobbly moments, but then he has that beautiful crossfield kick to Mac Hansen, the incredible conversion from Craig Casey's acrobatic try, and generally very composed and confident out half play. Afterwards, our own Aisling O'Reilly was asking Sam Prendergast in the press conference how he felt.
What was it like to make your Irish debut?
Hi, Aisling. Yeah, it was pretty surreal. The whole week, really, from when I got named in the team and then family coming into the Shelburne, having Keane in camp as well, it was a pretty special thing. And then getting to play in front of a full Aviva, kind of sing the national anthems for the first time. It was a nervous week, but it was quite surreal, yeah.
What were the conversations like with Andy when he told you that it was going to be happening?
He just said kind of just to be myself, really. Just to trust kind of what I've done to get this far and just try to be the best version of myself. And that's what I tried to do when I played. Like, you just tried to put a few nerves behind me and just try to do that.
And growing up, is there tens in particular that you always looked up to and admired?
Well, the obvious one is probably Johnny. Then a few kind of maybe out there ones like Danny Cipriani, Quade Cooper, Damien McKenzie, people like that who I just enjoyed watching when I was younger. Like the way they played, and I still watch them a good bit. A few of them are finished up now, but I still watch them a good bit and just kind of try to take ideas off them.
You're obviously extremely young and coming into this Irish side that has a lot of experience. What is that like as a 10? Because you also have to be vocal and you have to be commanding on the pitch. Were you intimidated at all by it, or did you feel like you could step up and into that role?
Yeah, it's intimidating, but I suppose I probably found it hardest at the start when it was with Leinster as well. But it's like there's some intimidating figures who are very experienced as well, but they're very friendly as well. And they're, if you're curious, they're kind of willing to teach you as well. So it's good to learn off them, and they're all very knowledgeable. So, and they're also very sharing of their ideas. So even whether that could be other backs or even some of the forwards are quite knowledgeable on a lot of the attack stuff. So it's good to kind of bounce ideas off them.
Are you having those comparisons?
No, they weren't comparisons. They were, who did you like? That's different. I mean,
as we were watching that video, we were commenting throughout. Danny Cipriani, Damien McKenzie.
Well, Cipriani is like the very definition of the mercurial GAA forward, right? Who is absolutely sensational on his day, but I think you would say never quite fulfilled his potential. And I don't know what the let's ask Matt Williams a little bit later on what the view of Quade Cooper is, like, lavishly gifted. Whereas obviously Sexton eked out every bit of his talent. If he ends up being a combination of those four players, he'd be pretty happy. Right?
Yeah. He's quite mercurial. There is something about him. I read one of the reports afterwards was that he both looked like he was starting for the first time for Ireland and at the same time looked very senior and confident. And I think that was kind of a neat summation of his display.
There's a weird dichotomy going on at the moment where every time you say anything good about Sam Prendergast, people are assuming that you're saying something bad. It's addition by subtraction from Jack Crowley. And so, you know, you don't want to get too excited, but it's hard not to get very excited about a talent like this who emerges at 21 and is playing at this level, and has put together it's kind of Clifford-esque, the underage career that he's had. And then his first foray into the senior team with Leinster. Like, there were a few performances with Leinster that were pretty amazing. In games that are URC games, it's only the URC, it doesn't really matter. But then you're like, you go back and you watch it, and you see some of the things he's capable of. Well, at the same time, you got to keep a lid on it. You don't want to put too much pressure on it. But it's good to be excited about new talent coming through, right?
Oh, yeah. This is ultimately a great debate we're having about who's playing 10, isn't it? This is really exciting. I mean, in many ways, Ireland are in a better position now than they were at the end of Sexton. because there's like there are two outstanding options at 10 and one really good one that we need to see more of.
It's interesting though, they're not outstanding options obviously by definition, because I think people now kind of go like, well, if you had to pick, you'd probably go with the guy that's youngest of all. In terms of like, right, if you had to hedge your bets and say one guy's going to get all six games of the six or five games of the Six Nations, who do you pick? You'd probably want to see Prendergast.
Well, that's a very interesting point. But what's the I think we need to put context on that, right? The value of the Six Nations and the prize money is so important, according to the IRFU constantly, that they tell us that every single point gained in the table is extra, equates to millions, and that therefore funds. You could fund all of Connacht and Ulster on the basis of one victory in the Six Nations. That's what they tell us, right? Personally, think the IRFU floats on a bed of money and has done a great job over the years, because they've loads and loads of assets and they own loads of stadiums and property and stuff, and they always play the poor mouth. Whereas, you know, at the same time over the last decade or so, the FAI were always telling us how much money they had. Which, anyway, what's the context? Like, best team for the World Cup, you pick the young guy. Best team to win the tournament straight away.
No, well, my point is that you'll be more expert on this than I am, but are we kind of the consensus generally that of the three of them, Prendergast has the most potential?
I think highest
ceiling. Okay, so it would make the most sense. Really, none of the two of them are so good that you'd go that you'd stand in this guy's way. Or is there? Maybe there is. Maybe that's kind of a feeling that in 2-3 years' time, if you had to predict now who will be the number 10, you'd probably go Prendergast. Or certainly, maybe you'd want it Prendergast owing to that ceiling. And I'm not sure if the other two guys are so good to stand in his way. That's what I'd be worried about. Just when you use the word outstanding to describe them, I don't know if they'd be outstanding in terms of will they hamper Prendergast's getting in this team as a starting 10? Is it just a matter of...
It could be though, right? And the time might be important. He might need the time to bulk up. He might need the time to just learn about the opposition understanding what his tells and tricks are, and so they get now they'll all go back and I presume already somebody in the opposition has looked at all his footage from the under-20s games and all the best footage when he wasn't a team that was dominating, and they'll start to work out he does this thing a lot,
yeah,
and so he needs time to get to the point where he does do that a lot, but then somehow he's developed his game enough so that the opposition don't know what he's going to do, and that experience, while the young players coming through is so exciting, there's no real substitute for being 50, 70, 100 games in.
Yeah.
And so what do you fast track that?
It's very hard to know. It's a great way. It's a fascinating discussion about how you manage talent and potential. And whether you obviously can't write off the other lads, but you can't at the same time. I wonder now, not off the back of just yesterday, but I'd be fascinated to know what the general feel is that, to use it as a measuring stick, to say the next World Cup, is the general feeling in there that if all goes to plan, Prendergast will be number 10.
Yeah.
I just wonder how you manage the next two guys. And maybe it's less so with Frawley because he's a bit more adaptable. But for Crowley, it's like, what can he do to
for Crowley
upset that plan, I suppose. Well, it's an interesting dynamic.
It is. Like, Crowley at this stage of his career has many of the things that you would have said Sexton had at that stage, maybe a little bit less of the bringing the ball to the line. But if Munster get their coaching stuff right now and he gets somebody day in, day out who is telling him that he can actually be one of the best tens in the world,
yeah,
which he could still be at 24. It's like it's right there for him if, you know, that bit between 24 and 30 when you fully understand exactly what the game is. Like, that's what we're going to come to think of his career as. So that's not written yet. And if he gets the right coaching and the right people around him, there's no reason why he wouldn't be able to hold off Prendergast. Because bear in mind, Prendergast has to get ahead of the lads who are there at Leinster, which I'd say it's not guaranteed that they're going to just stick him straight in the team, because there's a lot riding in their season, you know?
Who do you both think will start at 10 against Australia?
I think he's going to start with the incumbent, which is Jack Crowley.
Yeah, you'd think so, wouldn't you?
And I think he's going to name both Well, I don't know. I think he's going to name Prendergast on the bench for that. Now, I was going to say he's probably going to name both, but I don't think he will. I think, well, Osborne's gone, so he probably will.
Yeah, Foddy came on for Osborne, didn't
he?
Yeah.
So,
and they're very well at fullback.
So he'll, and you can go your 6-2 split if you want. Yeah. Well, I'm not sure why they would now, but they could do that. And I think Frawley played well enough to exercise some of the demons from the All Black game, but probably played so well as a non-10 that you're like, oh, well, you're back in the team, you're back in the squad, but you're on the bench because we don't have anybody who can do what you can do.
Lastly, on Prendergast, before I move on, do you think it was red card?
I did. I think that there was enough movement of the shoulder for it to have signified intent. And I see the Fiji coach was absolutely livid afterwards. And I don't think they could have had any complaints. Was it a red card?
Yeah, it was Mick Byrne's comments were, no surprise, he was playing in green, so we got yellow.
Yeah, like, look, I mean, it would have been a disaster if he'd been red carded for him on his own. But that's the sliding doors moment of a career, you know? Like, imagine, it's like, oh, the whole thing got to him. You're like, ugh.
I know. It could have been a slightly different game because Fiji were just held up, or the ball was just short of the line. That would have, if they converted that try, that never was, it would have been 7-7 with Ireland down to 14. As it transpired, I think Ireland were 14-3 up by the time that Prendergast returned. And then Bayonarji had an excellent match thereafter.